Ephesians chapter 4 is where we'll go at this evening. We're teaching through the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night. And what we're going to do tonight is look at verses 17 through 22. I wanted to move on to two quick sections, but I tell you, the book of Ephesians is rich. There's just so much in it, just hard to run through it real fast. And we certainly have. I think this is our 21st message out of it. 21 messages, I believe that's right. So you pray that the Lord would bless us. Let's go ahead and read our text for tonight, and we'll have a word of prayer. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to the work of all uncleanliness with greediness. I mean, the greediness here is not so much with money, but greediness in immorality. But ye have not so learned Christ. If it so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight we have this privilege of preaching this evening, and we pray that you would use this message. If we've read our text that we're going to try to cover tonight, we pray that you would use it to touch people's hearts. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to title this message, Walk Not as the Other Gentiles. That's going to be our title, Walk Not as the Other Gentiles. And, of course, when you look at the book of Ephesians, it was a Gentile church. Most of the churches you read about, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, these were churches established primarily by the Apostle Paul in his earthly ministry, in his ministry here. He went forth and as a missionary, and many churches was started under his missionary journey. So that's who the book of Ephesians was. They were what? Gentiles, people like us. When you say they're Gentiles, it just means they weren't Jews. On the other hand, they were Gentiles. Paul found most of his success amongst the Gentiles. He fought a lot with a lot of the Jews. There was Jews saved under his ministry, but primarily, for the most part, it was by far Gentiles. He had great success amongst the Gentiles. Who brought that success? Well, the Lord did. The Lord is the one that brought that success. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Walk not as the other Gentiles walk. Now, once you're born again, once you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your walk is to change. I look for that in people. I get excited when people make professions of faith like we talk about a lot. But I get really, really excited when I see people change. I love to see people change. And that's what it's talking about in this particular text. He says, he testifies to them in the Lord that ye henceforth don't walk as the other Gentiles walk. That means their walk is to change, it's to be different. Sometimes that's not stressed enough in Baptist churches, I think. Sometimes that's not stressed enough in Baptist churches. We believe in living right, beloved. We believe in doing right and living right, don't we? The difference is we're not doing that to keep saved. That's a big deal right there. And that's a big dividing line amongst Christendom, if you want to call it that. That's a big dividing line in Christendom. We believe that we've been saved by his precious grace. We never earned our salvation, but we do believe that God is the keeper of us. We believe that we're kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5 says this, that we are kept by the power of God. All God's people say it. Now that's a keeping. Now, if you're not kept by God, now there's a sense in which we seek to keep ourselves, but we can't keep ourselves. God is the ultimate keeper in our life. He keeps you saved. What happens if you drift out of line? Does anybody know? He'll take you to the woodshed, won't he? He'll whip you. He'll correct you in a mighty way. He just don't let you go when you're born again. There is such a thing as the chastening rod of God, and he'll correct you. He'll correct you with it. So in this outline that I'm giving you, he's stressing to them that they need to walk different, which means they need to live different. Your walk is how you live. And they're to have a different type of walk in life in which they live now that they're born again. Now, this is stressed throughout the New Testament, but we're going to look at some of the examples of it. Are y'all with me tonight? Do y'all feel the same way as I do with regard to these things? When someone makes a profession, what I'm trying to tell you is there should be a change of conduct. How many believes that? Raise your right hand. And that's true, and that's not works for salvation either. Because sometimes people think that's what it is. It's not. It's works because of salvation. The works is done for the purpose of bringing glory to the Lord. We don't do good works to get saved by them. We do good works because we love the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you this one more time. I get nervous about people who don't change. I get nervous about people who make professions of faith and then they don't do what? They don't change. They're just the way they was before. And, beloved, the Scripture teaches us that there is such a thing as a dead faith, and I think a dead faith is not a saving faith. A true living faith in Jesus Christ will always change the person. There'll be a change in your conduct. Well, let's look at that, and we need to understand that, and we need to preach that. We need to preach that, too. I've listened to some preach in such a fashion as it's like they believe in lawlessness. It don't make no difference what you do now that you're saved. Well, it does make a difference what you do. Because if you're a child of God, you represent Jesus. Every one of us here tonight are ambassadors of Christ, and we want to conduct ourselves in such a fashion is to bring glory and honor to our King and to our country. That's what we want to do. That's why we do good works. But I'm telling you, this is a confusing subject with a lot of people. There's a doctrine called antinomianism. And what that, you want me to spell it for you? But anyhow, antinomianism. And that's just sin all you want to. There's no, you just like you got a license to sin. Things don't bother you at all. So that's the idea of it. When the Lord changes your heart and he saves your soul, you're not to walk as you did before. Your walk is to change. Now let's look at verse 17 again, read it again. He says, I testify in the Lord that ye walk as your manner of living. Henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, and they walked in the vanity of their mind. They had a vain mind, empty mind, and a worldly mind. So now that we're born again, our walk is to be what again? It's to be different. And we preach that. We teach that to our young people. We want to see them different. If you're going to be a witness for Jesus, people need to see that you're changed. Y'all agree? I mean, it's hard to witness to somebody if they don't see these things in you. They need to see these things in you. And it makes a great deal of difference. Let's look at a few texts now. And let's go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5, one you know. But I'm going to look at several of these tonight, stressing the fact that we should walk as a child of light, that we should have a change of conduct now that we are born again. Our life should be different. And we look for that in people. Are they different? Are they different? What's the Bible say? Old things pass away. All things become new. Are they different? Are things new? Do they have a taste for spiritual things? You know why people really ain't interested in a church? They don't have no taste for spiritual things. They're not hungry. It's boring to them. But if you got a taste for spiritual things, guess what'll happen? They'll come and take a drink, buddy. They'll come and want a heat of it. That's just the way it was. I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there at one time or the other. The most boring thing in the world was coming to church and sitting there. But when the Lord changes your heart, you got light. He give you light, and he changed your soul, or changed your life. Then that's what you see in it. You see a desire to want to please him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 is a common text. It says, let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men. So our light is to do what? Our light is to shine. That means you to conduct yourself as a Christian. You seek to live that way. And you're letting that light shine before men. You want men to see the light. You want men to see that you're different. That they may see your good works. And then do what? Glorify your Father. That's the purpose of works. The purpose of works isn't to save you. Because you can't do enough works to get saved. Only Jesus can save you. The purpose of works is to glorify your Father. And I've seen sinners do that before. I've seen lost people see someone that was just absolutely troublemakers and everything else and in sin. And then I've seen them people change. And people notice it. And they say, man, look how different. Look how different. Look how different they are. They're not like they used to be. What happened to them? Well, the Lord changed them. The Lord saved her soul. And when he saved her soul, he changes your life. Both of those goes together. Another example of it is in Luke 19. Y'all care if I show you these examples? You know them, but I just want to give them to you. It goes good with the flow of the message. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And this is the story of Zacchaeus. You're real well aware of it. He was a lost man. Boy, was he. I met people hated him like we've talked about before. Because he was a tax collector, he collected taxes from his own people for the Roman government, so everybody would, we would have hated him. Yeah. We'd have egged his house, you know, or if we'd done something, we would have hated this man. Because he took more taxes than he was supposed to. Now, all your tax collectors normally was thieves, because they collected more, and they collected what they were supposed to give, but they would collect more. And this man here, Zacchaeus, I think was that kind of man too, by the way. Now watch this now. It says, so when Jesus came, verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Remember, he's up in the tree because Jesus was famous. He wanted to see what Jesus looked like. And he's a short little fella. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So he calls Zacchaeus by what? Called him by name. That's really something considering what he was. And he's up in his tree and he says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. Jesus invited himself in. Jesus invited himself in and he went in, didn't he? And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man's a sinner. See that? That's how people are, ain't they? they're still like this today. Oh, he's a sinner. Well, we all were sinners before he was born again. You got to talk to people and be associated with sinners if you're going to win them, don't you? Can't be ashamed. There are certain places you probably wouldn't and shouldn't go. Don't get me wrong. But beloved, the Lord saves sinners, and how he saves them is through the presentation of the gospel. And what he does is he uses his people that's been saved by the gospel to spread the gospel. And beloved, that should be on our mind every day of our life. Now watch this now. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood, I'm sorry, it's me in verse 7, and they saw it, they all murmured because he went into the house of a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half my goods I've given to the poor. Now that's really something. That's really something because he was covetous. He was a covetous man. He lived for money. That's what drove him. What he would have considered being a success would be rich. So Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. That was odd, wasn't it? See, he's showing you a change. Before this man lived for covetousness, now this man is evidencing a what? A change. An evidenced change in this man. And when someone's born again, that's what happens. And Zacchaeus stood and said, Behold, half my goods I've given to the poor. If I've taken anything by any false accusation, he said, I restored it fourfold. That's what the law taught. You stole, say, a dollar, and you had to pay back like $4 or something along that line. You had to pay it back. You had to pay it back over and above. And that's what Zacchaeus, that's all, who did? That's what Zacchaeus did. You know why that is? Because he had stole from his own people. That's why people would have hated him. What did Jesus say when he, what did Jesus say when he seen Zacchaeus' change and he seen Zacchaeus' good works? I'm asking. What did Jesus say when he saw this change of conduct? Notice what it says in verse 9. This day, it's what Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and to save that which is lost. All God's people see it. All right. So that's Zacchaeus is a great example of what we're looking at. Let's go back to our text in Ephesians now. We're just looking at examples of men who had a change of conduct. And we could look all through the scriptures at those, and I'm not going to be able to do any more of them because I looked up and I need to roll a little bit faster. But Ephesians chapter 4, let's get back to our text, verse 17. Now he tells him in verse 17 not to walk as the other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. You're not to live like the world. Well, you know how we would say that? Don't live like the world. Don't live like the world. And that's what he's telling them to do here in this particular text. There needs to be a change of conduct in people's life that trust the Lord Jesus. So see, the Ephesian church was a church made up of Gentiles. He said, don't walk like the other Gentiles. Don't live like the other Gentiles. Conduct yourself in a different walk, in a different way. Walk not as the other Gentiles, because the other Gentiles lived a very ungodly life. Notice what it says here, in the vanity of their what? Of their mind. Emptiness. Emptiness of their mind. They lived for worldly things, but they didn't live for spiritual things. So the first point tonight, don't walk like the other Gentiles. Does that apply all the way to us down to today? And walk different. Live different. Talk different. All of it. And it'll have an impact on other people. All right. We live amongst Gentiles here in America, don't we? Most people in America is Gentiles. There's a Jewish population and other populations too. But we as God's people amongst this nation should conduct ourselves in such a fashion as to bring glory and honor and praise to our Savior. They should see a difference in His people. They should see a difference in His people. Their habits should be different than those in the world. Okay? All right, now let's move down to verse 18. Here's what else it says about this group. He's talking to the Gentiles in verse 17. He's telling the church of Ephesus not to walk like the Gentiles around you, basically, is what he's telling them not to do. I mean, they lived in Ephesus. That's where they had that false god Diana was there. Remember that? They lived in a rough place. All these churches were in rough places. But he's telling them to live different. Let the actions speak too. You need to speak from your mouth, but you also need to speak by your actions also. It says, having their understanding darkened. Now, that's the problem with the lost person. Did y'all realize that their understanding is darkened? That means they don't understand. I say that all the time, don't I? I don't always say this text all the time, but I say it in other places. It says their understanding is what? Darkened. That means their mind is what? It's dark. It means it's blinded. They have a blinded mind. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4 that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God, should shine to him. They have a blinded what? I can't believe they can't see it. Well, I can believe they can't see it. You, Tim Stevens, you believe they can't see it? Why is that? They're blind. Did you hear me? You don't see it because you're brighter or smarter than everybody else. You were blind too. You were blind before the Lord turned your light on. Well, is that true or not? Who turned your light on? Who gave you light? The Holy Spirit did. He turned your light on. He opened your understanding. He opened your eyes. He did all of those things. He did. Now, I done quoted this, but let me go back and look at it. 2 Corinthians 4, so you can mark it. You need to have this in mark. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are what? Hid that are lost. Now, why is it hid to the lost? It says because the God of this world, you notice the little G, it's talking about the devil. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose the image of God, should shine unto them. That's why they don't see it. They don't see it because they're blinded. The same way as you was before he made you able to see. That's why we see. So the condition of the lost person, his understanding is darkened. So he stands in need of somebody doing what? Turning that light on. That's what he stands in need of. He needs somebody to do what? Turn his light on. And what that basically means, to turn his light on, is to open up his understanding. The scripture says that the Lord hath given us an understanding. I think it's 1 John 5:20. He hath given us an understanding to know him that is true. Is that 1 John 5:20 back there, Tim? That was your job. That was your time to shine. 1 John 5 and verse 20. That's it. Are you ready? It says, and we know that the Son of God has come. And what has he given us? He's given us an understanding. See, before you were saved, you didn't understand. But when the Lord saved you in a new birth, he gave you an understanding. He gave you the ability to comprehend it, and you saw it. He opened your blinded eyes and gave you an understanding of it. That's what it says. He hath given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in Jesus Christ. So, in this text, we're looking at the change of conduct that comes in people that are born again. He says to walk not as the other Gentiles. Don't live like the other Gentiles. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit changes your way of living. We were in darkness before we were saved. What happened then? He gave us what? He gave us light. See, the Lord is the one that give you the understanding, opened your eyes, showed you the Lord, seen to it you heard the gospel. He's the one that does all of that. So he's the one that deserves the glory for all of it. All right? All right, let's look at the next one. Go back to our text. Book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I like this text. That's the reason why I didn't go too far with it, because, well, one reason I like it, and I know what usually happens when I like something, but it's just such a great text. And it really shows you why you're saved. It really places the glory on all of it onto the Lord, doesn't it? It says, having, don't walk as the other Gentiles. The other Gentiles have their understanding darkened, right? The other Gentiles have their understanding darkened, and they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the, they have what kind of heart? They have a blinded heart. Their heart's blinded. When you're talking about your heart, you know, we always do this. When you're talking about your heart, you're talking about your mind. They got a blinded mind. That's where we was at. Y'all agree? I was in the same shape of these people listed in this text. And so was you. This is us. This is what we were. I walked as the other Gentiles walked, in the vanity of my mind. Had my understanding was darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the what? The blindness of their heart. Their heart's blinded. And so they don't see. That's the condition that we were in before we was born again. That's what the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians is writing to these people. He's saying, now here's just the condition that you were in before God granted you the understanding of the gospel. All God's people see it. All right, let's read on. All right, let's move down to verse 19. So he's showing you the shape that they were, that the Gentiles at this time were in. And they stood in need of salvation. Verse 19, who being past filling. Did y'all notice that? How could you be to be past filling? You know what that means? It basically means you've sinned so much that you don't feel it anymore. So that means you're past what? Past feeling. They just keep doing it and doing it and doing it so it don't hurt anymore. So it's being what again? It's being past feeling. This is a great description of what the Gentiles were apart from God's grace. Back in this day and time, what I'm reading right here, this is how the Gentiles lived, and that's what they lived for. They were in a mess. They walked in the vanity of their mind. They were alienated from the life of God. They were blind spiritually. What's the worst form of blindness? What is the worst form of blindness? Spiritual blindness. Fanny J. Grosby was blind physically, but she wasn't blind spiritually. And when she died, she was blind. But she went off to be with the Lord, and now she sees. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Who being past, having given themselves over, notice what it says here, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. That's verse 19. All uncleanliness with greediness. Now, uncleanness, they were so greedy in their immorality that it drove them into all these unclean ways of living. Y'all think our nation is in that now? To a whole it is, I think so. Yeah, our nation, all these sins that we're talking about here, hey, just all these sins here is what America is doing to the same degree, y'all think? The exact same. It's just in a mess. He's describing the Gentiles right here. And what were we before we was born again? We were Gentiles. And the Lord saved our souls, see. But as a whole, my, the mess that our nation is in because of these kinds of sins that are mentioned here. Lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. So you can see the horrible mess that they were in back here, back at this particular time. And we're in the same shape as they were in. Now look at verse 20. He goes on to say, but ye. Everybody say, but ye. He described the mess in verse 17, 18, and 19. He described the mess that the Gentiles there were in. He gave you a big, long description of the sin that they as a people were living in. But now he comes down to verse 20 and get a little light here. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Ye have not so learned Christ. The greatest day in your life was the day that you learned who? Yeah, you had a saving knowledge of him. All the other Gentiles in 17, 18, and 19 had talked about their sin. But in addressing the Ephesians, he says, ye have not so learned Christ. They had a different way of living. You know why they had a different way of living? Because of Christ. Christ gave him a different way of living. Christ made a difference in their life. He opened their eyes, opened their heart, drawed them to himself, and he saved their soul. That's what he did for them. But that's also what he did for us. We were Gentiles. We still yet are Gentiles. Physically. But he opened our hearts and he opened our eyes and he opened our understanding. Are you thankful for it? If it wasn't for him, we'd still be in this same shape. Hey, I can remember living 17 through 19. Can I say it when we're done? I can remember living 17 through 19. But then I learned Christ. You know why I learned Christ, don't you? Because I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm way smarter than everybody else. That's why I learned Christ. You know why I learned Christ? Back to 1 John 5. He gave me an understanding to know him that is true. Y'all believe? I get tired of people not believing that little doctrine right there. I don't got no right to be arrogant over anything, because if it wasn't for him opening my understanding, I'd still be in my sin. And he gave me an understanding, beloved. The scripture says he gave me an understanding to know him that is true. And here's all I want you to believe. I want you to believe. Well, I want you to believe other things. I want you to believe other things too. But I want you to believe that he's the one that gives you the understanding. And I want you to believe this too. If he gives you the understanding, then he deserves the glory for your salvation. That's all I'm trying to do. I don't deserve the glory for my salvation. Because, beloved, before I was saved, the Bible says I was blinded, corrupt, depraved. You go on and on if you want to talk about it. That was the shape we were in. And what happened? I never understood. And then he gave me an understanding, and I seen Jesus, and I trusted him as a Savior. But that was all because of him. All God's people said. Y'all folks got to stand with me on that thing. Because it's true. And all I'm trying to do is teach you what the Bible says. And all I'm trying to do is give all the glory to Christ. Amen. Which is where it deserves to be. Where it deserves to be. All right, let me get done here. Back to Ephesians 4. And let's move down. Let me read verse 19. Who being past feeling. When you're past feeling, that means nothing bothers you. That's what past feeling is. That's when people sin so far, they don't feel it no more. Remember? I done mentioned that to you. being past feeling to work all themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. So verses 17 through 19 gives us a good description, really, I think, of America right now. I really do. That's how people are living, verse 17 through 19. And guess what? We'd be the same shape if it wasn't for who? Christ. That's what verse 20 says. But ye have not so learned Christ. We learned who? We learned Christ. And he's the one that gave us an understanding to know him. He's the one that drawed us. He's the one that drawed us to himself. He's the one that did that. All right, verse 21. Let's start. Let me get done. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, he said you heard him. Now, have we heard him? We hear him through his word, for one thing. But the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart in the new birth, too. We've heard him. We've been taught by him. Ain't we blessed? Do y'all think we're blessed? Because we got a completed book sitting right in front of us. They didn't have that. It was being built, but I mean, they didn't have what we got. We got it. If so be you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, here's the bottom line. Are you ready? We'll close with this. Don't slap him or nothing yet. I ain't done. Notice what it says. That ye put off. Everybody say put off. Since you're saved now, you're born again now, since he changed your life and he gave you light and gave you understanding, he said, put off concerning the former conduct. The word conversation means conduct. Put off the former conduct of the old man. Your old man's your old nature. I got an old nature in me. This body of flesh is really it, I think. This is my old flesh. This is my old body. One of these days I'm going to get a new what? One of these days I'm going to get a new one. So put off concerning the former conversation or conduct of the old man. That includes everything, doesn't it? Does it include your thoughts? Yeah, that's a fruit of the old man, isn't it? Do you have bad thoughts? No, I never have any bad thoughts. We have bad thoughts. See, that's in your mind. We have bad thoughts. He says, put off concerning the former conduct of the old man. And what's it say about him? It be, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Well, I'm going to stop with that tonight. It's 20 after, and I hope the message was a blessing to you. Don't walk. Listen to me. Here's my last thing. Don't walk as the other Gentiles walk. Live different. And your religion will mean a lot then. Your religion will mean a lot then. All God's people say it. Amen. So all stand. Thank you.